గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. గణానాన్త్వా గణపతిగుం హవామహే కవిం కవీనాముపమశ్రవస్తమ్. బ్రహ్మణాం బ్రహ్మణస్పత ఆనశృణ్వన్నోతిభిః సేద సాదనం శ్రీమహాగణాధిపతయే నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఇచ్ఛాద్వేషసుఖం దుఃఖం సంఘాతశ్చేతనాధృతిః ఏతత్ క్షేత్రం సమాసేన సవికారముదాహృతం. సో సుఖం అండ్ దుఃఖం ఆర్ క్షేత్ర, వెరీ 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 ఇంపార్టెంట్ ప్రపోజిషన్. అండ్ ఇఫ్ వీ కెన్ అప్రిషియేట్ ఇట్ ఈవెన్ టు ఎ స్మాల్ ఎక్స్టెంట్, దట్ లిబరేట్స్ అస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది థ్రాల్డమ్ ఆఫ్ సంసార. సో బికాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ఎవర్ చేంజింగ్ సుఖ అండ్ దుఃఖ దట్ మేక్స్ అస్ సఫర్ టు నో ఎండ్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ నెసెసరీ to gain that space with reference to the body mind. Eventually we should reach a stage where you are almost indifferent to the body mind. You don't care whether the body is whether the mind is cheerful or otherwise. What difference it makes? It is not you. It is something like weather. People get disturbed by weather also. So suppose the space is, the weather is a space, you know, akasha. Suppose it is not having many clouds, so people become very happy. And suppose it is overcast, then they become unhappy. Why should we be unhappy or happy by that identification? That's why there is a weather channel. Otherwise, 24/7 weather channel, what will everybody do with it? So, identification. So, when people can identify with such a distant, nebulous thing, so no surprise, we always identify with what is going on here. And so, that is what we are advised to break. That identification should be broken. Next is Sanghataha. Sanghata is, Shankara says, Dehendriyanam Samhatihi. So, the conglomerate held together. So, it just not just conglomerate. It is a conglomerate held together into a one-looking unit. It is not one, but by the time it is held together, it appears to be one. And that is a huge misleading, misconception, that this is one. It is not one. It is a bundle. It gives an impression of one. You see, just imagine, suppose, only for imagination purpose, suppose there is no skin, then what is it? It is just the skin which keeps it in a shape that ultimately it looks like one item. It is not one item. It is made of five elements from one standpoint, or it is made of seven dhatus. So, sapta dhatu, viewed in a different way. And then, it is endowed with a power. So that Maya Shakti is reflecting here. Ishvara Shakti is reflecting here, which is same as saying Ishvara is reflecting here. So it is like there is electricity in this house, which is same as there is power of electricity available, one and the same. So as that Shakti reflects here, so it acquires certain functionalities. That is the Indriya. Indrena Dattam, Indrena Jushtam, iti Indriyam. Indra is Ishvara, not the Lord of Heaven, the Vaidika Ishvara. So the functionality, like the function of hearing, I can hear the sounds, I can see the shapes, the forms, I can pick up a smell, so I can sense the touch. These are all some of the functionalities, even walking, speech, etc. All these functionalities are blessed by Ishvara by reflecting in this Sanghata. That's why they are called Indriya, Indrena Dattam. They are put in place by Ishvara, Indrena Jushtam. They are maintained and serviced and made functional by Ishvara. That's why they are called Indriyas. And so the conglomerate, together with those functionalities expressing in different parts of the conglomerate, so that is the blessed thing, the Dehendriya Sanghata. And this is Vikara. It is not Kshetrajna, it is Vikara. Vikara means modification. So this modification also, not that it has got undergone some modification sometime back, now it is stable. No, it is a modifying thing. In fact, Bhagavan Buddha described the Sanghata as a wave. It is a wave it is. So ever changeful and never stable or static. So it is ever changeful it is. You see, in this creation, there is nothing like a stable or static. There is no such thing. Interestingly, suppose you have a cup of water. Water is sitting inside. So, now is it a stable? No. It is not stable, not static. It is in a constant flux. This is what we call a dynamic equilibrium. It appears to be just sitting there stable without any movement, without any modification. But it is not that kind of a situation is called equilibrium. And it is not a static equilibrium. There is no static equilibrium in this creation. Every equilibrium means a thing which appears to be sitting there. That is the equilibrium. So every such thing is indeed dynamic in nature. Means lots and lots of modifications are happening all the time in the body and in the mind and in the sense organs. They are constantly happening. Yet the whole blessed thing gives the picture of a single thing. And so, even while giving the status of Sanghataha, it is a conglomerate, so even then, it is not a stable conglomerate. It is ever disintegrating. It is a wave. You cannot have a wave sitting there. Wave means it is moving thing only. You cannot have anything sitting there as wave. So the body is a wave, the body-mind is a wave. So that way we have to understand. So that when the wave undergoes disintegration, as it must, we will not be distressed about it. People get sentimental and distressed about the disappearance of a form and they suffer for no reason. And then if somebody says this suffering is not required, that somebody is considered a spoil sport. Because suppose somebody died, all the people are crying bitterly. Now you go and say, there is no need for any crying. Why are you crying? Suppose some crazy guy says that. Then they will pounce upon him. So he is talking all wrong things, this and that. He has hurt our sentiments. This is the usual thing. Hurt our sentiments. Who asked you to get hurt in the first place? The other person doesn't hurt you. You hurt yourself. The other person cannot hurt you unless you allow himself to hurt you. In fact, whenever somebody says, the other person has hurt my feelings or hurt my sentiments, it is not the other person. It is oneself hurting one's feelings and one's sentiments. He doesn't know how to remain unhurt, and therefore he is hurting himself. No other person hurts. This is the Sanghata. So we have to understand. So there is not a big deal about Sanghata. We should not give much value to it. So you start decorating it and adorning it and all those things. So that creates a false notion that there is some thing, some real thing, a solid thing sitting there. It is not a thing, it is not a solid, it's an appearance. It is a wave-like thing it is. It is a frequency it is. It is a vibration of a particular frequency, nothing more than that. And that frequency is not going to remain the same. It will vibrate more, it will vibrate less. One day it will start disintegrating and it will fall apart. That's why it is called shariram. And so this is the sanghata. And then the chetana. What is chetana? Chetana is the consciousness. So, not Atma Chaitanyam. Sometimes the word consciousness is used to mean Atma Chaitanyam also. That is not what the sense I am using it. So, what happens is, chetana is like the light inside the room. Suppose you have a dark room. Now, you allow a pinhole-like thing in the window. And then the sunlight enters the room through the pinhole. Through a small hole, it enters the room. And now the room, a pencil of light is inside the room. So the light is there, but not only there. The light has this quality of dispersing, what they call diffraction. So the light, it disperses all over the room. And so there is some light spread all over the room, illuminating things, even in a light way. So may not be very brilliant light, but some light is there. So this light, what we say, the room has some light. So the light is now conditioned by the volume of the room. It is not really conditioned, but that is how we look at it. We say the light inside the room, we say like that. So we create a conditioning for the light. Did you notice this? What we call daylight? Daylight is a conditioning. There is nothing like daylight. There is only light. The universe has light. But a human being standing on the earth, he relates to that light as daylight. For him it is daylight. Because that light is denied to him for a certain length of time. And so it is available to him only during certain time. And so that time is called day. Therefore now the epithet day, the word day, it seems to qualify the light. It doesn't qualify. Light is light. It is not daylight. But still we call it light. That is how the wakefulness, the waking consciousness is called chetana. That is like daylight. That is like the light inside the room. So there is a waking consciousness that is spreading all over this body because the sparsha is part of it. The sense of touch is also part of it. Consciousness means not only eyes and ears, the sense of touch. Suppose a mosquito is sitting behind, suddenly comes and sits, I know it. So that why? Because the consciousness is shining. That's why I know mosquito. Suppose the room temperature goes up, or you are sitting in the car, by mistake it is put on 80, and then it continues to be 80 Fahrenheit. Then suddenly, you are looking here and there, suddenly you notice that you are feeling very uncomfortable. Then look at the temperature, it is very high. So bring it down. That is what is called consciousness. It doesn't operate by our will. It has its own law. And it operates. Till you fall asleep, it will be operating. So that consciousness, which is like the light inside the room, how there will be light inside the room? Only when you open the window a little, we allow the sunlight to come in. Then only there is a light inside the room. Similarly, the Atma Chaitanyam is shining everywhere. So, It is space-like. Atma Chaitanyam is space-like, like sunlight. Sunlight is in the entire universe. Universe means in our universe. So don't go into galaxies and all that, just within that. So sunlight is everywhere, it has to become daylight for us. It becomes daylight and then only it is available. Similarly, so Atma is like light of the universe, of the sunlight. That gets conditioned as though. That conditioning is so the waking consciousness. Therefore, how the Atma has become waking consciousness, the window of the mind is open. So that is when the mind is open, that is what you call waking state. So the window of the mind is open, a little, even a little. Then the light of Atman floods in because it is just shining ever, timelessly. So when the light of Atman floods in, or rushes in, kind of a model I am saying, don't take it too physically. So then what you get is what all faculties are there, they are all shining, and the entire content of the mind is now shining. Even the body is pervaded by the sense of touch. Therefore, even the entire body is now got animated. So that is called chetana. The essence of chetana is the prana shakti plus vijnana shakti. So the power to move and the power to think and see, know, etc. So all put together is called chetana. That chetana, the consciousness, waking consciousness, is also a vikara. Because suppose you are conscious being, you sit in the car. So the car is traveling, somebody is driving. And then slowly you doze off. That means the waking consciousness is now shut off. It is gone. And then suddenly you wake up. So waking consciousness has come back. So this way, and suppose you are dozing off. In that also there are degrees. So when in the midnight you are in deep sleep. Whereas while dozing off, you are not in such a deep sleep. So there is again a gradation. And then you dream. So that dream consciousness is subconsciousness. It is 50% it is. Ardhanidra, 50%. 50% consciousness it is. And even in sleep there is some consciousness. And then you wake up, it is full consciousness. Full means what? So full with reference to the other two states. There is no other absolute full, there is no such thing. So like that, there is again a twilight zone. So you are neither fully awake nor completely asleep. So suppose I am just lying down. Are you awake? No. That no is not a... So he doesn't mean that he is sleeping, definitely. But at the same time, he is not fully awake also. So that kind of ardhanidra. So all these states are there. And so the consciousness, what you call the wakeful consciousness itself, is a vikara. That is what I am trying to describe. It is also a vikara, undergoes variations. And therefore, waking consciousness, that is not the truth. Because that is vikara. That is known to you. And so that is not the truth. It is originating from the reality called Atman. Its origin is the Atman. But if you can disregard the content of the waking consciousness, just drop the entire content, then that contentless consciousness is the window to the truth. That way you can understand. It is like you are in a room which is dimly lit, and so light is available, but if you go to the window and you position yourself in the direction of the light, then you can directly see the sun. So that way. So for that, you have to disregard the content of the room and go to the window. So like that, you can do that. That is what meditation is. Anyway, one aspect of meditation. So Atma Chaitanya Bhasa Rasa Vidha Chetana Shankara. So I have explained it. That is the Chetana. That is also Vikara. That is the point. Consciousness is also Vikara. Then Dhrutihi. Dhrutihi is a quality of this body-mind to keep itself together. It has an instinct by which it functions. And suppose there is a fright reaction. And so you suddenly come across a tiger or whatever. Then the body-mind has its own response. Very instinctive response. And that is the response to preserve the self. The self-preserving response of the body-mind. It is not about the ego or any such thing. In all such fright situations, the person will not be there. The ego will not be there. The ego is absent. There is an intelligence that pervades the body-mind, and that intelligence operates to preserve itself. In a self-preserving mode, it operates. So then what happens? Suppose it is a serpent or a tiger or a bear, whatever. Then immediately the adrenaline, etc., all those chemical, biochemical reactions start happening. In a fraction of a second all those things happen. And all the energy is now concentrated in the calf muscles and the knees and the thigh muscles, etc. And so the person takes to the heels. So, and he will have the energy. Any amount of energy he will get. At that time he will get. Once the danger is gone, then he becomes the normal putty like as usual. But during that time, he is very agile and very animated and energetic. So that kind of instinct by which the body-mind preserves itself, that is called dhritihi. So Shankara explains it in a very interesting way. Yaya avasada praptani dehendriyani dhriyante. So the body-mind, it is threatened very seriously, and then it acts in a way to overcome that threat, that dhritihi, a courage. It is not the courage of the person, it is the courage which is in the form of an instinctual response of the body, mind, to preserve itself. So that is called dhritihi. Even that is a vikara, because it is a heightened state of instinct, nothing more than that. And of course, as the mind responds in a particular way, the body follows suit. So now you have a synergistic effect of fright. So you run away from the scene. Here, Shankara makes an interesting comment. The list is not exhaustive. Icchad, Veshas, Sukham, Dukham, Sanghatas, Chetana, Dhritihi. Okay, these are the vikaras, six of them. That is the entire list. One should not think like that. Seven of them. Because these are only indicative list. Upalakshana it is. So, these are some of the things which are mentioned. And a few other things, if everybody experiences quite a few other states of the body-mind, other different states of the body-mind, so they are also included, you can include. So, sarva antahkarana dharma upalakshanartham icchadigrahanam. So, it is not an exhaustive list, you can add a few more things. Like, spardha is there. Spardha means competitiveness. The competitiveness is a state of the mind. You compare yourself with the other person, and then become sad. It is like he is eating food. The food is tasting nice, but he saw what the other person is eating, and so he is eating a higher quality food, and then this food now tastes like ashes in the mouth. Till then it was okay. It was doing nice. The moment he sees the other person getting a better food, so this food becomes tasteless. This is a comparison. And this comparison makes the person sad. And because of that sadness, he competes so that next time he can compare in a very favorable way. So favorable comparison has to come. And therefore he has to work for it. And then he works for it and reaches there. And so now he can favorably compare himself with the other guy for a minute and a half. And then another person will come. So now again the unfavorable comparison. So again he has to work for it. So this way people live in what is called a competitive world, and the competition is also justified, saying that it is required for progress and all that. What is progress? More diseases and more psychosomatic problems. Is that what you call progress? Progress is not the point. The body and mind, body should be healthy and mind should be at peace. That is the goal of human life, not progress and all that. So anyway, the spardha could be an example which can be fitted into this list. Just I gave you one example. Like that, many more mental states are there. They are all vikaras, and these vikaras, ever changeful things. So when you are healthy, you feel like competing with somebody else. And when you are not well, suppose the person is sick, then he doesn't feel like competing with anybody for anything. So, like that, these are all mental states which are attributes of the kshetram alone. And so they do not belong to you. So you should know that this is none of your intrinsic nature. Very big thing it is. And one has to actualize it. then there is no fun otherwise. There is no meaning in all of it unless you make an effort in the direction of actualizing it. The effort is such a glorious thing. Even if you discover a little space with the body-mind, so that brings a lot of comfort and peace and freedom. That is the watchword, freedom. So people talk of freedom. So the freedom that the people talk about is nothing but physical freedom and political freedom. That is not the freedom. There is also some value is there, physical freedom and political freedom. But that is not the freedom that we are talking about. We are talking about the psychological freedom. And then ultimately, freedom from the bondage of samsara, so etc. So that freedom is at hand. It is at hand. Only you have to disidentify perseveringly with reference to the body-mind. So generally, I said it again, I am saying, generally when we talk of disidentification and all that, people talk of everything is Atma, what is there to disidentify? So like that, you know. So you have defeated the whole thing in one stroke. And so that is not the correct approach.
Amanitvamadambhitvam ahimsakshantirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyamatmavinigraha.
Okay, we have said this is the jnanam. Kshetra kshetrajna viveka is the jnana. That is the jnana. So, wherever the word jnana comes, it is viveka jnana. Even yesterday in Deepavali occasion, we were talking about jnana deepaha. Because Sri Krishna said, jnana deepena bhasvata. What is the jnana? Jnana is the deepa. Deepa is a lamp. So, it is a metaphor. So, what is the jnana there? Not atmanjnana. Not atmanjnana. Don't worry about atmanjnana. So, jnana-deepa is viveka-pratyaya-rupaha. That is what Shankara says. So, because you have to light the lamp of knowledge. Is that atmanjnana? No, you need not light the lamp of atmanjnana. It is timelessly present. There is nothing like lighting the lamp of atmanjnanam or any such thing. It is the viveka jnanam only. Similarly, when you hear the word jnana yoga, it is not atmanjnana yoga. Atmanjnana is not a yoga. Yoga is a sadhana. Atmanjnana is siddha. So atmanjnana cannot be yoga. So viveka jnana is the yoga. So start with viveka. You begin the journey from where you are. So you are in identification with the kshetra. So start there. Then what will happen to Atma? We will see what will happen to Atma. Presently, this is where we have to start. Okay, so having understood the starting point well, this is where we have to start. Okay, then how to accomplish that? How to attain that knowledge? Is it attainable? Yes, it is at hand. So how to get it? So you have to prepare yourself. Some preparation is required. So, you see, you need a preparation. Suppose Brahmachari is there. He has to undergo this thread ceremony, initiation to Gayatri, etc. There will be some preparation. So Gayatri, okay, come, sit, this is Gayatri, take, and now you go. It will not be like that. Some preparation will be there. Similarly, for marriage, there will be preparation. These are all called samskaras. So for that, there will be preparation. Similarly, for Atmajnanam also, so first you begin with viveka jnana. Acquire that. Atmanjana is siddha. You need not acquire it. Viveka jnana is what you have to acquire. And so how to go about it? So you have to prepare yourself. Means you have to acquire certain qualifications. Very interestingly, these are not so much of positive qualities that one has to acquire. So, nothing positive about it, mostly. Maybe somewhere if it positive thing comes, then that is the positive thing. But the beginning itself, it is all negative. Means, it is not about acquiring things as much as it is about dumping the things. So, దట్స్ వై వేదాంత శాస్త్రం నిషేధ ప్రధానం శాస్త్రం. ఈ ప్రిడామినెంట్లీ నెగేషన్ ఇస్ ది ఫౌండేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ శాస్త్ర. వెదర్ వేర్ ఎవర్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు నో వాట్ ఈజ్ ఆత్మా, అగైన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నిషేధ ప్రధానం. అజం, అదీర్ఘం, అనను, అహ్రస్వం, లైక్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ అ లాంగ్ లిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ నెగేషన్స్. సో ఈవెన్ ది సాధనా ఈజ్ ఆల్సో నెగేషన్ ప్రధాన. యు సే వివేక, వైరాగ్య, వాట్ ఈజ్ వివేక? సో షిఫ్ట్ దిస్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్, ద రియల్ ఫ్రమ్ ది అన్రియల్, దట్ ఈజ్ వివేక. హ్యావింగ్ షిఫ్టెడ్ వైరాగ్య, రిజెక్ట్ ది అన్రియల్, దట్ ఈజ్ వైరాగ్య. వైరాగ్య ఇస్ నాట్ ఎ పాజిటివ్ క్వాలిటీ, ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఎ నెగిటివ్ క్వాలిటీ. ది రాగా, ది ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ రాగా ఇస్ వైరాగ్య. దెన్ శమదమ, వాట్ ఈజ్ శమ? సో ఐ టెల్ యూ ది హోల్ లిస్ట్ ఈజ్ నెగిటివ్. ఎనీవే, సో హియర్ ఎ లిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ 20 క్వాలిటీస్. దే ఆర్ ఆబ్వియస్లీ నెగిటివ్, సమ్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ కుడ్ బి పాజిటివ్ ఆల్సో డిపెండింగ్ అపాన్ ఎ గివెన్ కాంటెక్స్ట్ దే ఆర్ కమింగ్. సో ఇట్ బిగిన్స్ విత్ అమానిత్వం. సో మాన, వన్ హ్యాస్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ మాన. మాన మీన్స్ ద ప్రైడ్, వ్యానిటీ, దిస్ ఏ వ్యానిటీ బ్యాగ్. సో వై వ్యానిటీ బ్యాగ్? ఐ వాజ్ వండరింగ్ వాట్ కుడ్ బి ది రీజన్ టు కాల్ ది బ్యాగ్, వై షుడ్ ఇట్ బి కాల్డ్ వ్యానిటీ బ్యాగ్? మేబీ ది బ్యాగ్ ఈజ్ యూస్డ్ ఫర్ సెల్ఫ్ అగ్రండైజ్మెంట్, దట్ మస్ట్ బి ది రీజన్. అదర్వైజ్ వై షుడ్ ఎనీబడి కాల్ ఇట్ వ్యానిటీ బ్యాగ్? దట్ మస్ట్ బి ది రీజన్. సో ఇఫ్ ఎ సిల్లీ గుచ్చి బ్యాగ్ ఈజ్ యూస్డ్ ఫర్ సెల్ఫ్ అగ్రండైజ్మెంట్, దెన్ దట్ ఈజ్ టూ మచ్ ఆఫ్ ఎన్ ఐడెంటిటీ, ఎన్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ విత్ ది జడ. మానహ, మాన, వేరెవర్ యు సీ మాన, ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ జడత్వాభిమాన. ది ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ విత్ ది ఇన్సెన్షియంట్, దట్ ఈస్ ది సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ మాన. సో యు హ్యావ్ టు ఇన్వేరియబ్లీ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ద ఇన్సెన్షియంట్, దెన్ ఓన్లీ దేర్ కెన్ బి మాన. సో యు సీ మాన మీన్స్ సెల్ఫ్ అగ్రండైజ్మెంట్, మీన్స్ యు look at an object which is an insentient object, identify with it as what? As me, that is the physical body, as me, and then as mine. You see, suppose the glasses are there, the glasses can be used for self aggrandizement. Generally the glasses are, they become me, a part of the body they become. So the eyes have a lens, the lens are corrected by an external lens, and the external lens can be in very close contact with the eye lens, in which case it is called contact lens, but still it is external. Even contact lens is external, this lens is also external, but it is not really any external anymore. It is now an integral part of the eye lens, because eye lens corrected together, now the both lenses, the eye lens and this lens together, constitute a single lens, and now that is how it operates. Therefore the physical object called the eyeglasses, so it is an integral part of the body. And now Mahatma Gandhi used to wear a particular kind of eyeglasses which are very simple, whereas there is this eyeglasses, Ray-Ban eyeglasses, very very high class eyeglasses, etc. And so that kind of eyeglasses I wear, therefore I am superior. This is called mana. And so what is the foundation, what is the basis for that mana? A silly thing like a pair of glasses. So the glasses are not the point really, because they are meant for correcting the focal point, etc. It is the frame which holds the glasses. What a thing to identify with. So that is what people do. So the ignorance of the human being is endless. It is, there is it is endlessly goes on. Very unfortunately, we are not after all that much of an exception also. So we have to look at that. That is the point. ఎనీవే, సో ప్రహ్లాద సేస్ ఇన్ ప్రహ్లాద స్తుతి, మన్యే మీన్స్ ఐ సపోజ్, దట్ ఇస్ హౌ హీ బిగిన్స్. మన్యే, దట్ ఈస్ ది ఓన్లీ వర్డ్ సెపరేట్ వర్డ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఈజ్ ఎ కాంపౌండ్. మన్యే ధనాభిజన రూప తపశ్రుతౌ జస్తేజ ప్రభావ బల పౌరుష బుద్ధి యోగా, ఎ హ్యూజ్ కాంపౌండ్. యోగా ఈజ్ అసోసియేషన్, నాట్ దిస్ ఆసన అండ్ ఆల్ దట్. యోగా ఈజ్ అసోసియేషన్. సో దిస్ పర్సన్ he identifies with something, that association means identification, it is the other, but you identify with it as me and mine, and that is the origin of mana. What could be dhana? Wealth. So this is the characteristic expression called rich man. Rich man, that is the expression. It's an expression, it is not about anybody, it's an expression. So the rich man's view of the world, rich man's vision of the God, there are two things. Like everybody else, every person, every human being has a vision, has a thinking about the world. This is how the world is. He has some notion, some idea. Similarly, this is what God is, like that. So this rich man's vision of the world and rich man's vision of God, they are entirely illusory, entirely. Everybody's vision is also more or less the same. But rich man's vision is particularly illusory. So that's why it is called rich man's God. Very peculiar thing it is. And Prahlada is a jnani. And he says, this is not how to worship God. All naradhanayahi bhavanti parasya pumsaha. These things, dhana, etc., they are not the things to be employed in worshipping Ishvara. Parasya pumsaha aradhanaya na bhavanti. Na bhavanti means na prabhavanti, na kalpante, samarthaha na bhavanti ityattha. They cannot be used to impress God, to please God. But people do that. Dhana. Ostentatiousness. So a public show of religion is not religion. Religion is a private communion. It is not a public show. So, anyway, dhana. And so, the mana means identification with money. So, the bank account has more figures to it. Sometimes if you go to bank, some poor people come to the bank in India. They have a passbook. Very, very crumpled passbook it is. From the passbook shape itself, you can tell. And that lady brings it. So she says, Sahab, I want money. Like that she comes. What money you want? You don't have any money. No, you see, dekho to, see. Like that she pushes the passbook. I need not see. I know you. I know your passbook. There is nothing to see. There is no money. Something must be there. I see a figure. How much? It is 251. I cannot give any money from that. Because minimum is 500. Already you have taken from the minimum. This is how the argument goes. 251 is there, you know, you give 200. Okay, oh, don't give 200, you give 100. No, I cannot give. This is how it goes on. So, she is not rich, obviously. Then somebody else walks in, and he has a passbook too, very shining. And there is a big figure in that, some six figures are there. So, he says, I am rich. He says means he doesn't say, but suppose he has to say, that is what he says. And that rich, that is the mana. And you really feel that, I am rich. And so, then that distorts the entire vision of the world. And also, that distorts equally the vision of God. That is the expression, rich man's God. That is an expression. And so, that is not how you have to look at religion or worship of Ishvara. So, amanitvam, mana should not be there. You see, manitvam means manaha asya asti. He has this quality of identifying with the insentient object and then utilizing the insentient object for self-aggrandizement, for the aggrandizement of the ego. That is the manitvam. So, manitvam takes the person to jadatvam. Because you identify with the insentient, you as though become insentient. And so manitvam is a tamoguna pradhanam it is. in manitvam, because there is identification with the jada, so it is predominantly tamoguna, and it takes the person to jadatvam, so as though he becomes insentient himself, as though. What is his essential nature? Chinmayatvam. The human being is a conscious being. He is the being which is shining as the knowing. That is what his being is. You see, you can say this table is an existence. But what kind of existence? The existence cannot know another existence, and it cannot know itself. Whereas I am is there. What is this I am? It is also sense of being. But what kind of being? So it knows itself, it shines as the knowing, and in the process it knows the other insentient things also. So this way, that chinmayatvam, so atma, brahma, all that will come, but first you have to recognize your essential nature as a chinmaya. You are a conscious being. You are not a material being. You are not a material in nature. You are knowingness. That is the nature. So that is the truth. And this truth is very horribly forgotten or lost sight of when you have this mana identification with some of these worldly things. So that's why the negation of manitvam means that humbleness of heart, and that humility, and not identifying with the riches in spite of having riches. The humility of a rich man is more valuable than the humility of a poor guy. Therefore, he is a rich, he has enough, but still he has that humble heart. That is the amanitvam. This amanitvam can take the individual to chinmayatvam. Suppose you discover some manitvam, not only dhana, other things are coming. I will give the list. Abhijana. Abhijana means caste, family. So, like saying, adhyobhijanavanasmi, 17th adhyaya, I think. So, abhijanavanasmi, I belong to a family of scholars, that a pride. That is also a mana, abhijana, and a caste, a family of scholars. This thing is there in every society. I belong to the family of Kennedys, somebody may say in this country. It's a well-known family, so I belong to that family. When Obama became president, 27 other Obamas said, "We are all related to this Obama." 27 of them, New York Times has counted. Lal Bahadur Shastri, when he became prime minister, he himself made a statement, "I knew for the first time that there are so many, many relatives very closely related to me. I never knew so many existed earlier. Now so many relatives are there." That is what he said. So this is how abhijana, that is the abhijana. Incidentally, Lal Bahadur Shastri is not a caste name. It is the title he got from the Kashi University. Anyway, Rupa. Rupa, caste is where abhijana, family name or caste, what is that? It is an attribute given to the body. That's why it came under identification with the insentience. Rupa. So, rupa is the shape of the body. So, some people, male, this is the macho spirit for the male. I am very strong and powerful, that raw power of the muscles and the limbs. And so that leads to some garvam, means vanity, or even arrogance and pride. So that is the mana. So these should not be there. That's why the list is being said. Tapaha. Tapaha means penance or austerity. That is also physical. The word tapaha is a kashta sahishnutvan tapaha, like that the Yoga Darshanam describes it. So the ability to withstand or endure voluntarily the physical discomfort, that is tapaha. And there is a voluntary courting of discomfort is there, but sometimes if the discomfort is thrust upon you, Instead of crying bitterly or getting desperate about it, you endure it. Now it is not voluntarily taken, but it has come and I endure it. And so I take it in my stride. That is also called tapaha. So tapaha should be there. Tapaha should be there. But it should not be used for self-aggrandizement. Then shruta. Shruta is a scholarship. So that also should not be used for self-aggrandizement, which quite often people do. Then ojaha, physical strength. Tejaha is luster, the luster of the face, shining, that shining, which is physical again. Then prabhava means leadership qualities. So the person has certain leadership qualities, and therefore he flaunts himself, "I am a leader," like that. Somebody else doesn't have leadership qualities, and so he cries, "I don't have leadership," like that. So this is prabhava, and then we identify with that prabhava, and that is also manitvam. For example, an officer can say, "I have a perfect command over all my subordinates." He may feel like that. That is manitvam. Then bala. Bala is physical strength. Paurusha. Paurusha means that quality of intolerance towards something which I don't like. That is the paurusha. So, abhibhava asahishnutvam. Suppose somebody says something against me, I will not tolerate it. I will take him to task. What he thinks. So that is the paurusha. And so some people are very meek. They know what is going on, and they also know that it is not the right thing, and yet they keep quiet. That is meekness. Whereas you cannot talk like that while I am around here. So that is paurusha. And so that is a quality of the mind, and so and the person uses it for self-aggrandizement, like saying, "He is a very meek guy, sits quiet. Whereas you look at me, how I respond, this and that." That is the paurusha. So having paurusha may be okay, I don't know whether it is okay or not, it all depends. But then self-aggrandizement based on that, paurusha, buddhi, that intellect, so a sharp intellect is a gift of Ishvara. And so we see child wizards. It's a gift of Ishvara. These gifts, we say gift of Ishvara for a while, but actually it is all mithya. And also that doesn't change. Just because it is a gift of Ishvara, it doesn't become satyam. That is one thing. Secondly, the gift of Ishvara is also very short-lived. These gifts, they are short-lived. Maybe one generation people know it. That's the end of it. For example, when I was in university, we were hearing about a great mathematician called Shakuntala Devi. And some of the people must be knowing her also. So she was a great mathematician. But nowadays, nobody seems to talk about her. So the people go into the history. Ramanujan. Quite a few people don't know about Ramanujan. He was a great mathematician of his times. So like that. Suppose you give the list of Nobel laureates, you may not even know certain names. Oh my goodness, who is he? Like that you may say. He is a Nobel laureate. So like it happens like that. Therefore, this buddhi, etc., is a very transient things these are. They are not worth identifying with. And therefore, based on the buddhi, if a person says, "I am a great intellectual," this and that is manitvam. Naradhanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumsaha. So any of this list I have said, big list I gave, none of them will be required necessary qualities or sufficient qualities for worshipping Ishvara. You can worship Ishvara without any of these qualities. In fact, one or more of these qualities can become a real hindrance to worship Ishvara in case you identify with them. భక్త్యా తుతోష భగవాన్ గజయూథపాయ. దట్ ఈస్ ది లాస్ట్ లైన్ ఆఫ్ ది వెర్స్. సో గజయూథపాయ, గజేంద్ర, ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఎలిఫెంట్స్ కుడ్ ప్రొపిషియేట్ ఈశ్వర, అండ్ ఈశ్వర బ్లెస్డ్ హిమ్, అపియర్డ్ బిఫోర్ హిమ్ అండ్ బ్లెస్డ్ హిమ్. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ ద స్టోరీ గోస్. సో వెన్ ది కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఎలిఫెంట్స్ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ క్వాలిటీస్, ఇట్ జస్ట్ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ క్వాలిటీస్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ the king of elephants is not even a human being, which is the primary requisite to worship Ishvara. Even that it doesn't have, but yet it was able to worship Ishvara, contemplate upon Ishvara, as the story goes, and it could get moksha. So what is the message that comes out of that story? So bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuthapaya, it is the bhakti, means love. So one has to understand what is love. So love is not attachment. Love one has to discover. If one assumes I know what is love, or I love already, I am loving, so what is the big deal about it? If like that one assumes, so he is making a mistake. So love has to be discovered. Love is not a movement of mind. It is not emotion. It is something beyond the mind. And so anyway, one has to know it. So bhaktya tutosha bhagavan గజయూథపాయ. సో అమానిత్వం, నవ్ వీ హ్యావ్ గాట్ ఎ పిక్చర్ అబౌట్ అమానిత్వం. సో ఆబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎగ్రండైజ్మెంట్ త్రూ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. సో శంకర మానినోభావ వెరీ సింప్లీ హీ హెజ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్డ్. సో ఆత్మన శ్లాఘనం, మానిత్వం ఆత్మన శ్లాఘనం తదమానిత్వం. సి వెరీ సింప్లీ పుట్, యూ డోంట్ రిఫర్ టు యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ either in speech or in thoughts. Thoughts is for oneself, speech the other persons also can know. So you don't refer to yourself in thoughts, means you do not think of you as a persona and I am so and so, and then go on referring to it in your mind, in your thinking. And then in speech, once it is there in the thoughts, it comes into speech. So I am this, I am that. So I am a visiting Swami from Andhra Pradesh, the source of great Vedantic learning, something like that. Just I gave you a practical explanation. So a gentleman said, is there anybody in this group or in this assembly who never praises himself like me, and who never speaks less of others like I am doing, like I do, like that he says. So I could not put it in the very proper phrase, but you got the spirit of it. So by the time he completes the sentence and asks the question, he has already praised himself and he has already put the people down. And then asks, is there one who doesn't know Atma Shlaghanam and Paraninda? ఆత్మశ్లాఘనం అండ్ పరనింద. ఆత్మశ్లాఘనం మీన్స్ ప్రైజింగ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్, పరనింద మీన్స్ సెన్ష్యూరింగ్ ది అదర్. సో ఈజ్ దేర్ వన్ హూ డజంట్ నో వాట్ ఈజ్ ఆత్మశ్లాఘనం అండ్ పరనింద లైక్ మీ? దట్ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్. సో దట్ స్టేట్మెంట్ హ్యాస్ బోత్ ఆత్మశ్లాఘనం అండ్ పరనింద ఇన్ ఇట్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మానిత్వం, అండ్ దట్ ఈజ్ ఆబ్సెంట్. Every day when we go for lunch, we say these things, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha, we say. But what happens is, we just mumble words. We don't intend any of that. Really, we do not really mean all of it. We just mumble it. This is what is called ritualization. So we just make it into a ritual. It is just a waste of energy. It doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. So nirmana mohaha, while saying it, it flashes, oh my God, this is mana. And so amanitvam takes me to the vastu. That is the way Gita has to be understood. Then adambhitvam. So dambha. Dambha is a very interesting word. So sometimes translated as hypocrisy. But in Sanskrit it has a very wide meaning. There are a few situations of hypocrisy. It is not just one thing called hypocrisy. There are one or two, three things that cover the area. broadly described as hypocrisy. So, for example, you show bhakti. This bhakti has an outer form and then an inner vision. Both go with thing called bhakti. And in the literature, like Bhagavad Gita, I was looking this literature about bhakti. Some area I have covered, I could never ever come across a place where bhakti is described in terms of outer form. Not even one place. I did not come across anywhere. I'm not suggesting that such texts are not there. They could be there. For example, one who has the upward tilakam or horizontal tilakam, either this or that, is a bhakta, is a devotee. Or one who has this kind of a dress, is a bhakta, dresses himself in this way. Bhakta's haircut is like this. And so bhakta walks like this. So like that, a physical description and the description of an outer form is just not there to be seen anywhere in these main texts of bhakti. Like in Bhagavatam, it is not there. And in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakta Lakshana, you don't find it. And in Bhakti Rasamruta, Bhakti Rasayanam by Madhusudana Saraswati, Bhakti Rasamruta Sindhu by Goswami, Rupa Goswami or Jeva Goswami, whatever. So many, many such texts are there on bhakti. None of them talk about an outer form. Now, but I want to show that I am a bhakta. How to show? Because this blessed thing called bhakti has no outer expression. Therefore, you make arrangement that you present yourself as a bhakta. That is called dambha. So, I wear a dress to impress others that I am a bhakta. Impress others means impress in what way? I am a bhakta. And then the marks on the face are also employed to impress others. And then certain things that we wear, like mala, etc., are employed to impress others. You can wear a mala out of love, and that gives you a feeling of devotion. Therefore, you can wear. Similarly, tilakam, etc., it gives you a feeling of devotion. You feel good about it, and you feel like practicing devotion. And there is an association. So, by the time I put the bhasma on my face, there is an association with that. Even if it is done without spirit, it is all a waste of energy. Without spirit, if it is done, it is waste. Bhasma is there. Bhasma is ashes. Why they put ashes on the face? Just to get reminded, this is what the truth of this creation is. Ashes is the truth of this world. Because everything in this world turns into ashes. Including the globe, one day becomes ashes. The solar orb becomes ashes one day. Ashes means not a powder that you can put in a bottle. That is not my spirit. That is how the whole universe is like that. This body will become a fistful of ashes ultimately. Nothing more than that. So this, and therefore Vairagya, that is the spirit of the ashes. And the ashes, and ashes, another meaning is there for it. Namarupa is obliterated. And so, to begin with, it has Namarupa, but as ashes, it has no Namarupa. And so, Anamarupam Satyam. The truth has no Nama and Rupa. So, the truth is very bland that way, really speaking, like ashes. And suppose now, the ashes should be shining, and they should be white. They cannot be very brown and all that. They should be white so that they will be very impressive and photogenic they will be. And then they are arranged on the face in a very symmetric fashion that it becomes a photo op. By the time this guy is filled with ashes, it is a photo op, immediately photo op. But if it is some 2-3 hours delay is there, then he has to put all the thing one more time so that a photo can be taken. So if that is the purpose, then the photo being Namarupa, it goes against the spirit of ashes itself. And therefore, the external forms of devotion, if they are employed for bringing that spirit with him, to nurture the inner spirit. That is what they are originally meant for. That is the original meaning. There is some meaning in it. And therefore you may still hold on to the external forms, or you may ignore them also. That choice is always there. When you reach a stage, you can drop them. But up to a point, they can be as an anchor. One can use them. We all do that. Instead of understanding that spirit, use it for impressing others. This impressing others is the huge weakness that the human being has. Even some of the Mahatmas are no exception. So they want to impress others. And so that is called Dambha. Any effort to impress others, it has an element of Dambha in it. And we should be away from it. Anyway, I'll conclude with a small story. So Brahmadeva, the creator, was in his loka, Brahmaloka, and in the court. This is how Puranas describe, you know. So Brahmadeva is sitting on a golden throne, very high placed golden throne. He was sitting there, and other denizens of Brahmaloka are in the court, so occupying a marvelous gold bedecked seats and all that, you know. And so Siddha, Sadhya, Devatas, Rishis, Brahma, Devarshis, and all those great Lokapalakas, all of them were all occupying the seats. And then suddenly one person entered, one gentleman entered. Even while entering, this is the story, okay? So he took a fistful of darbha grass, and he has a kamandalu in his hand, and he started sprinkling water. Apavitra pavitrova sarvavasthangatopiva. Like that he is sprinkling water. And only after sprinkling the water, he is putting the step forward. And he entered into the assembly, into the central point he came. All these rishis, siddhas, sadhyas, gandharvas, devatas, all of them, they were stunned. Amma, what a pious person he is. Even in Brahmaloka, he has to sprinkle the sacred water and then only he can step. Otherwise he will become defiled. What a pious person he is. So all of them, instinctively, they stood up in reverence to him. Then Brahmadeva was astounded. Who is this guy? So he started recollecting, I must have created this guy. So who is this guy? And so he seems to be very, very pious, more than anybody in this assembly, including myself. Who is this guy? And immediately, the master of ceremonies or somebody will be there at the side of the Brahmadeva. He went forward and offered a very special seat to him. Then he said, I won't sit in any of these seats because it is already defiled by somebody or other who is not as pious. And everybody was bent their heads. My God, what a pious person he is. And then Brahmadeva himself was surprised. But now it is all the more urgent to offer a seat to him. Very pious person. Then Brahmadeva said, you must be from my creation only, doesn't matter. I offer you this seat. You come and sit on my thigh. Probably this is not defiled by anybody till now. Nobody sat here. You come and sit here. Then this person, okay, I think I will do that. So then he came up and then apavitra pavitrova. He sprinkled water on the thigh and sat there. And then Brahma, I recognize you. Then Brahmadeva recognized him. You are the Dambha. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat.